Well, good morning, everyone. Sorry, not too many bits to organise. Lynn reminded me of a post that I shared on Facebook, bearing in mind the songs we've been singing. And it says this. It's a secular thing, but I think we can use it in our lives and our walk with God. It says, "You are strong for getting out of bed in the morning when it feels like hell. You are brave for doing things even though they scare you or make you anxious. And you are amazing for trying and holding on no matter how hard life gets. We are fortunate in our faith that we're not holding on by ourselves. We have support. We have an all-powerful Creator looking after us each and every day." So I'm just going to pray and then I shall start. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come up and share your word. Thank you for the opportunities we have in life, the conversations we have with people who we think are strangers, but actually we have links and we can talk to them about our faith. I just ask that you help us and guide us every day just to see the opportunities you put before us, and give you thanks for those that we've already had, and may they be fruitful. And we ask this in your name. Amen. That was off of the back of a conversation I had with a chap on Wednesday who comes here to do our fire alarms and has done for the last 10 years. I've never met him myself. Carol's usually dealt with him. His name's Callum. And I've known his wife for quite a long time and never met the guy. They only got married 2 years ago. Kaneen met her on a course at King's. So we're Facebook. And he said, "Oh, yeah, my wife, Clem." And I went, "Is that her?" And he went, "Yeah." And so now we're friends on Facebook. And he was hoping to come this morning. He's not a believer, not a church goer. So we're praying for him. He had a Catholic mother and a Muslim father. But he doesn't like religion. So we're praying this. And I said, "We don't do religion. We do faith. We do belief." Anyway, that's a complete aside this morning. The theme for this morning is testing God. And as Diane rightly said, I'm using Gideon as my text. So that's Judges chapter 6 onward, if you'd like to follow along on the device. I haven't put Bibles out, I'm afraid, but I've got it all here in front of me, so you'll have to trust that I am using the right word, and then go home and check later on, just to be sure. I think the book of Judges is absolutely fantastic, but I'm a bloke, so, you know, it's real blood and gut stuff, quite literally in the case of Ehud and Eglon. If you don't know the stories, do go back and have another look through Judges. The phrase that constantly pops up at the beginning, just before a judge is appointed, is "the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord." And then we have another judge appointed. Anyway, we're looking at testing God this morning. I don't know if any of you remember or know of the cartoon strip Hagar the Horrible. There's a few old years. There was one particular comic strip in there. He was often looking to the gods, but this one time he actually was kneeling in prayer and he said, "It's not easy to believe in you, God. We never see you. How come you never show yourself? How do we know you even exist?" And quite a lot of us have been through that at some point in our life, usually before we come to know him and before he shows us how powerful he is. And then in the cartoon strip, the next thing you see is flowers springing up next to him out of nowhere. There's a volcano in the distance erupting. The sun is eclipsed. Shooting stars across the sky. Lightning, thunder. A bush suddenly bursts into flames. Even a stone mysteriously rolling away from the entrance of a tomb. Now, Hagar pulls himself up out of the mud and the dirt, dripping wet, and he says, "Okay, I just give up. Every time I try to bring up this subject with you, Lord, something interrupts us." Sometimes we test God, don't we, without actually wanting to know the answer or to see the answer, like Hagar. Hands up if you've ever asked God a question, and when he's given you the answer, even if it's the answer you wanted, you've turned around and said, "Are you sure?" Because I certainly have. And that's the story of Gideon. It may not have been the answer he was looking for, and he had very specific requests of God. And he said, "Are you sure?" I'll give you a quick breakdown of the story, because it's quite long. If you're going to read it in the Bible, I do suggest you go home and read it, because it's fantastic. But basically, the Israelites have been given into the hands of the Midianites because, the very first words of chapter 6, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So they'd just been forgiven. They'd had 40 years, and they're back to their old tricks again. So they were given into the hands of the Midianites for 7 years. And in verse 10 of chapter 6, we find out why. It's because the Israelites, when they got rid of the Amorites from the land, were supposed to clear out all their temples, all their gods and everything else. But they chose to worship them instead. Now, while Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press, if you want to find out why, read the Bible. The angel of the Lord comes and sits under an oak tree nearby. And he calls Gideon a mighty warrior and tells him that the Lord is with him. Now, because of all that had happened to Israel at the hands of the Midianites, Gideon actually questions whether God is truly with them. I mean, look at everything that's going on. How can you say you're with us? Well, you know, we've been put under all this pressure. And the response was, "I'm here to send you to save Israel." Now, Gideon does a similar thing to what Moses did earlier on. And he, when he's asked to go and save the people, he starts to make excuses why he shouldn't be the one who is to go. And he says, "How can I possibly do it? I'm from the weakest family of the weakest tribe. Why are you sending me and calling me warrior?" And the Lord replies, "I will be with you. You'll be fine. It's not a problem." Now, this is the point at which Gideon asks for the first sign. He prepares meat and bread, and the angel says, "Go and put it on that rock over there and offer it up as a sacrifice." So Gideon puts it on the rock, and the angel of the Lord touches it with his staff, and it bursts into flames and is burnt up as an offering to God. And as the offering is consumed, the angel disappears. So I've given you a sign. This is what you're supposed to be doing. So it's at this point that Gideon realizes he was actually face to face with an angel of the Lord. And, you know, that's not a good thing, because I told you can't do that. You can't look on my face, otherwise you'll surely die. But this is one of those instances where it didn't happen. He wasn't to be afraid. So Gideon gets up, and he goes and destroys the altars that he was supposed to get rid of beforehand, that the Israelites were supposed to get rid of. And he sets up altars to the Lord instead. And the rest of the Israelites get up and say, "Well, what's happened to our altars? What's going on?" And he explains. And then, full of the Spirit, Gideon rallies the Israelites and gets an army up to go and fight against the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern peoples. But Gideon says to God, "Just to be sure that you're using me to save Israel, I'm going to place this fleece on the floor. And in the morning, when I get up, if the floor is dry and the ground is wet, sorry, if the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, get it round the right way this time, then I know that it's you who's sending me to do what you've said." So that's exactly what happens. Gideon gets up in the morning, squeezes a whole bowl full of water out of this fleece that he's left on the floor. And you think, fantastic. I mean, if I saw that, I'd be, wow, you know, that's pretty cool. But it wasn't enough for Gideon. He said, "Right, okay, great. But can you do it again? But do it the other way around this time. Please don't be angry. You know, I'm just making sure." The following morning, the fleece was dry and the ground was wet. So Gideon has tested God. God has shown great patience. So that's three tests so far. The first sign with the burning up of the offering and the angel of the Lord disappearing, and the two with the fleece. So now it's time for Gideon's faith to be tested. See how strong he truly is. So with all the Israelites, he has 32,000 soldiers. So he's probably feeling pretty confident at this point. Got 32,000 soldiers, we'll be fine. You know, it's not going to be a problem. And the Lord says, you've got too many men. The Israelites are going to think that they have won the battle without my help. Tell you what, you go and tell them, if they're a bit scared, they can go home. And 22,000 soldiers left of the battlefield. And Gideon thought, got 10,000 left, should be all right. And God said, still got too many. Going to get rid of a few more of these if you don't mind. Take them down to the river and I'll tell you what to do. Now, you see the big burly ones over there just diving in, sticking their face in the water. It would be really good for a fight. Send them home. I want the ones over there who are daintily lapping out of their hands, please, if you don't mind. They're the ones I want fighting for me. So Gideon ends up with 300 refined men. They're not scared. We know that much. And what happens next? Read your Bibles. I'm not telling you that bit. I've got the point out of the story I wanted to for today. Thank you. So Gideon wasn't satisfied after the first test, was he? He needed reassurance that it's actually what God wanted him to do. Does that sound familiar to anyone? It's like I was asking earlier, isn't it, where put your hand up if you go, are you sure? It's the same thing. That's what Gideon was doing. That's what we do. I've got examples in my own life, and you can probably think of some in yours. And if you can, that'd be great, and we can share those at another time, maybe. I may have told you before about when I was first looking into my calling to be a youth worker. Now, as Diane was asking earlier, I had no plans to do that when I was 8. I wanted to be a bricklayer. Don't ask me why. But there we go. So things have not gone the way I wanted. When I left school, the only thing I was good at was electronics. So I started doing that. It's not what I wanted to do. It's just all I was good at. When things were broken, it made sense to me. So I fixed them. But anyway, when I finally admitted that God was calling me to do youth work, my prayer was, as Diane said earlier, that the Lord would open all the doors and show me the way that I needed to go if it was the right thing to do. And so we had to sell our house to move to London for 2 years to go to Oak Hill. And we'd worked out how much we would need to live in London for those 2 years. And the first person who offered to buy our house put in the offer that would leave us after we paid the mortgage off with exactly that amount of money. That was the first thing. So we're like, excellent, okay, right, we'll go and have a look in London for somewhere to stay. And it was early days of the internet, so we'd seen a property online that looked quite nice, looked ideal for us with our one, soon to be two children. And we went and we had a look, it was fantastic. And the letting agents went, you're a student, you can't rent this place because the landlord doesn't want students in their property. We're like, oh, okay. Could you call the landlord and say, we will pay them the first month year's rent up front. We can even pay both years' rent up front. Won't be a problem. Okay, well, I need to phone them. It might take a while because they're in Hong Kong. Okay. When you say a while, how long are you talking? Can we go and get a drink, come back? You know, give me your mobile number, which I did, and we went off. And we were having a drink in one of the local cafes. I didn't actually know at this point whether I had a place on the youth work course. So we were still looking at moving, everything was going forward, but I didn't even know if I got a place. And in walks the director of the course that I was going to be on into the cafe while we were sitting there. And I said, I haven't heard if I'm on the course yet, but we're looking at properties anyway. And he said, no, you are. He said, we just haven't sent the letters out yet. So that was another thing that was ticked off. We needed to get home, so we went back to the letting agency. I've been trying to call you. They'd written my number down wrong. But if we hadn't stayed in the cafe quite that length of time, I might not bumped into him, you see. So it's all a bit... Yeah, they said, well, yeah, of course they're going to take the money. You're going to pay it up front. That's not a problem at all. So we got the money we wanted for the house. We got the property we wanted to rent in London and got on the youth work course. And we found all those two things out in one day. And God had made the path really smooth. And that was an easy, easy thing for me to trust. I can quite clearly see the path before me. We don't always know how things are going to go. And my second example is like that. I've been using examples from my life because obviously I know quite a bit about that. But my second one is more like a Gideon situation. And it's when I first applied for the post here. Because we prayed about it. Is it the right thing? The answer came back, yes. Brilliant. Okay, well, if I'm not meant to get the post, Lord, I don't even want an interview, thank you very much, because I don't want to get my hopes up and all the rest of it. Graham contacted me and invited me along for an interview, and I said, are you sure, Lord? Is this the right thing for me to do, to be doing? Even after the interview, and having had the interview and praying, if it's right, I'll have an interview, I was still, well, we'll see. Like I say, anybody got similar stories to this in their lives that you look back and you think, yeah, I doubted, I wasn't sure. But I don't think, when you look back, I don't think it's a lack of faith that's the problem. I think it's not a lack of faith in God, it's a lack of faith in ourselves. Because we don't necessarily think that we're worthy of his love and his care. And this is when we need to have his word written in our hearts, so that when we are tempted to despair about our lives and the things that are going on around us and we're feeling a bit down and we cry out to the Lord, we can remember that he's always there for us to the very end of the age. He will be with us, and we need to rely on him and trust in the power of his Spirit to lead, guide, comfort and strengthen us when we're weak. When the devil is trying to tempt Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus didn't actually engage in conversation. If you read through the temptations, didn't engage in a conversation with the devil. He quoted scripture. And he said, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. I mean, that's a pretty major test. You're going to throw yourself off a high place and not strike the bottom and be injured. But that's what Jesus did. He replied using scripture. He didn't get involved in conversation because the devil is a deceiver. He will take your words. He will twist your words. If you're using God's words, you have power and strength behind you. Because our God is a comforter to us as well. In 2 Corinthians, it says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. We struggle in life. We turn to the Lord. He helps us through those struggles. We then see other people with similar struggles to the ones we've had. We know how to help them, but we can help them through prayer and practically, because the Lord has helped us through those situations. We're not to test the Lord when we're troubled. We're to take comfort in the fact that he is in control. He does all things for the good of those who believe and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have that faith, even though you feel down, even though you feel troubled, there will be a reason. You will come through the other side. And he will work those things for your good eventually. We might not be able to see that path. we might not know where we're supposed to be going. But it's holding on to that faith. It's holding on to what we truly believe. There was a lot of terrible things came out of the Holocaust, but there's some amazing stories as well of bravery and faith. Now, you may have heard this one. It's a Jewish family in France were looked after in a basement. Now, I was looking at it, I couldn't find whether they got out, what happened, but what came out of it in the basement after the war, they found three lines written on the wall. And it says, "I believe in the sun even when it does not shine. I believe in love even when it is not given. I believe in God even when he is silent." Just because he's silent doesn't mean he's not there. Doesn't not mean he's not working for you personally in the background. Gideon wanted proof that God was with him. Hagar's very much like us. We quite often miss the signs that God has given us every single day about his amazing creation is all around us. I think just seeing, I've just realized the picture's still up, seeing pictures like that, seeing things like that in your daily life is just beautiful. It's a picture. Part of God's creation, part of what he does. And we can see things like that every day. I mean, the area in which we live is just beautiful. So every day we need to ask God to open our hearts, open our minds to his presence. And it's through his Holy Spirit that we can see these signs and wonders every day. We can know that he's there helping us, strengthening us. And if we are struggling, talk to him, talk to his people, which is our fellow believers. And we can help each other. We can comfort through the comfort that we've received. I think it's not about testing whether God is working in your life. It's trusting that God is working in your life, even though you can't always see it immediately. When I look back on my life, even the times before I knew the Lord for myself, I can see where he was working in my life and moving me in the direction he wanted me to go towards him. And I take comfort in that. And I think we should all do the same. Take comfort in the fact that we have a Lord and Savior who was willing to die for us just so that we can have a relationship with him, so that we can be part of his family. Let's pray. Lord, help us to rely on you and to know your will. Help us to come before you and give the day to you. Help us to see the signs of your presence in our lives. We give you thanks and praise that when we do ask, you respond in amazing ways. We give you thanks that when we look back on our lives, we can see all the things that you've done. And we can see the way that you work through others, through us. We ask that you continue to strengthen and build us up as your family here in this place. We just ask for your blessing on each and every one of us, and we ask this in your name. Amen.